Good afternoon, everyone. How are we doing tonight?
Great.
Oh, good. There you are, coming out of the woodwork. I'm sorry I'm a few minutes late. This is Steve Olson. I'll be subbing in for Kurt today, who Kurt drew some very hard duty today. He is doing a training in Jamaica, and so I'm sure we're all feeling very bad for him, and wasn't able to get back in time due to some delayed flights. But I'll be taking care of you today, and we're recording this conference, and we'll make that recording available to you as usual. And we're going to be covering the law of scarcity today, which is a much maligned topic. A lot of people are concerned about using the law of scarcity ethically and in a good way. We're going to talk about how to do that so you don't come across as old school or anything like that. As always, feel free to ask me any questions as we move along. Certainly feel free to bring those questions up. And if you've got specific questions relating to what you do and you're not comfortable discussing those on the line, I'd be happy at the end of the call today so that you can discuss those with me in private. Sometimes you just don't want to air it out there in front of everybody, and I can definitely understand that. And just so you understand, I'm most of my background comes from work with Kurt as well on the corporate circuit and training different businesses on the laws of persuasion and the information that Kurt's been sharing with you. And, you know, I've used this stuff on anything from to marketing aircraft parts, memberships, to everything in between. And so they're good, solid, universal principles. If you have them in your head all the time and think about them, you're going to be able to tweak them just right so that they apply in your business. Sometimes it takes a little bit of thought and a little bit of work on your part to get it just right so that it makes sense. But believe me, I've used it in everything, and there is an application in everything when you're trying to persuade somebody. So let's talk about the law of scarcity today. And some of you that may have not been on with us before are thinking, the law of scarcity, what's with all these laws? That's kind of the core of what Kurt traditionally talks about on these calls, is the laws of persuasion. Occasionally he'll get into other topics like negotiation and influence and things, but they are all interconnected. And so when I say a law of persuasion, that means something that there's psychological data, psychological studies to back up that it does work. And you probably can understand what I mean when I say the law of scarcity, which sometimes people would call urgency, right? There's got to be some scarcity or some urgency to what you're trying to persuade somebody to do. Because remember, persuasion involves a very high emotional component. Even the most logical person in the world, they might swear up and down that they only make decisions based on logic, but there always is emotion back behind it somewhere. That's how the human brain is wired to make decisions, because there's just too many facts and too many figures that we would have to process in order to make a decision just based on logic. You know, if I was to ask you, okay, what is the best car in the world by facts? You would have a tough time coming up with the answer. I mean, you might have some knee-jerk answers right now. You might have some answers that you can come up with that are partially based in fact. I'm not saying that facts don't have a role in persuasion, that logic doesn't have a role. But ultimately, it's impossible for you to process all the data in a timely manner, even though that's what some people would want to try to do. So we need to implement scarcity so that we can use emotional and subconscious triggers to get somebody to make a decision. So just to review, scarcity, right? You're probably thinking of the used car sale that's only good till this weekend, or the infomercial where there's only 17 minutes left on the offer of the century, or the seminar where you got to do it here. Those are all examples of scarcity in different components. But that's not the only side to it. And I'm going to talk about three components of the law of scarcity today. And this is what I want your goal to be. I want you to try to apply all three of them in your business. If you can only do one, then so be it. Sometimes it may be difficult to apply one of the principles because you have a highly customized business, and it's just not possible. But I can tell you this much, you will be able to apply at least one of these. But the more of them, the better. Okay? So let's get into them for a few minutes here, and feel free to ask me questions, like I said, and I'll give you some good examples too. Okay. So principle number one of scarcity, and we already kind of alluded to this, but that's deadlines.
What?
Deadlines.
Deadlines. If there is a deadline involved with your offer or your persuasion technique or whatever it is that you're trying to get somebody to do, it is going to be more effective. If you don't give somebody a deadline, they don't do it. Think about your kid's last science project, right? They waited right up until the deadline to do it. It's human nature to procrastinate. So we need to have a deadline involved. Now, here's a disclaimer for you, and this applies to everything that we're going to talk about today. But because the consumer and because people are increasingly sophisticated and they've kind of gotten wise to the law of scarcity, there has to be a reason for the deadline. If there isn't a reason for it, then they just write it off as artificial scarcity that's not really necessary, and, oh, this person is just trying to get me to do something, and they're not buying it. So there has to be a good reason for the deadline. On an airline ticket, you have to book your ticket before the flight leaves. That's a legitimate deadline, or you're going to get left behind. There's nothing the airline can do about it. And the more you can mirror it after that, of, look, here's the deadline. I'm sorry. It's out of my hands. The plane leaves at 5 o'clock, right? The more legitimate and the better the reason behind your scarcity, okay? So try to think of something legitimate. And I would encourage you to pay attention to the marketplace. Pay attention to whatever ad you see on TV or billboards, internet ads. What's the difference between a illegitimate deadline and a legitimate deadline, right? We'll take the car companies, for example, right? Anytime there's a holiday like Memorial Day or Labor Day or something like that, they always have a big blowout sale. And they try to create reasons like, oh, we bought too much inventory, or all cars must go, whatever the reason is. And it's only good until the end of the weekend. And is anybody really buying it? No, because they know there's going to be another sale coming right behind it. And, you know, for whatever reason, this one may be a little sweeter than the last one. That'd be the only reason they get any kind of movement on an offer like that. But we're not buying it because we just don't see a compelling reason that that deadline will go away. These guys have to move cars. That's what they have to do. Now, on the flip side, we talked, you know, like I said, about the airline. Now, sometimes you can say, I can take, you know, a certain amount of people, and that would lead us into the second principle, which is limited space. What can you do to limit the space of your offer, of your contract, of your products? I'm only taking a certain amount of people. I can only do so much money. That's something that works well for me. I do a little bit of real estate syndication, which, if you're not familiar with what that means, it's you pool people's money. This is a way to do it legally. You pool people's money and you buy real estate, apartment buildings, blocks of single-family homes, different things like that. And I literally can only do a certain amount of money. There's only so much real estate out there that fits the parameter of the kind of investment that I'm trying to do. So when I tell somebody, look, Bill, I'm raising, you know, $2 million for this project. I'm at, you know, $1.3 million right now. That's some genuine limited space. I can't take any more than that. And that really does put people into a frenzy. So then I can do a little double whammy there. Look, Bill, I only have so much space, so you need to make a decision by this date. That's, you know, the D-Day that I've given to everybody. So I've given them a double whammy with limited space and then deadlines. And once again, the principle of legitimacy comes into play here. It has to be legitimate, limited space. What is the reason for it? Why is it there? Sometimes people just can't get their brain around, well, how do I can't create limited space for my business. Trust me, there's a way. And, you know, I'll give my email address here. You can certainly feel free to, you know, brainstorm a few of those methods together. But think through it. How can we create some limited space for our business and for our offer? Okay? Let's go to principle number three, which is allure. A-L-L-U-R-E.
Oh.
If something is alluring, what does that mean? Any takers? What does it mean to be alluring?
Attractive.
Enticing.
Attractive, enticing. Okay. That's a good, those are good definitions. I told somebody the other day that, you know, when you're persuading and when it comes to allure, you can't hunt fish. You fish for fish. Right? If you drive around on the pond or on the river or on the lake, chasing the fish, making a big ruckus, they run away. They dive to the bottom of the lake. They don't want anything to do with you. Right? You've got to fish for fish. You have to entice them towards the bait or whatever it is. It has to be appealing. And that's what we're after here. As soon as somebody feels like you're trying to persuade them, that you're after them, you're trying to sell them, you've lost the allure. You want them to feel like that they're chasing you. Some people would refer to this as posture. There has to be a significant amount of posture. Now, if you know, one of your good friends called you up and said, "Hey, I've got the opportunity of a lifetime," and you know, you knew this guy from everyday life. Maybe he has had several opportunities of a lifetime, right? He always manages to find these. Yet he's only got one lifetime. You get the kind of person I'm talking about, right? You probably wouldn't really take it seriously. There's not any allure there. But if you got a personal call from Donald Trump, would that have a little bit different weight to it? Absolutely.
Probably.
Absolutely it would. So there's certainly an element of credibility when it comes to allure. And even some overarching deadlines and limited space as well. What sets you apart? Right? How can you express to the prospect that you don't necessarily need their business? You're okay either way. That's the kind of impression that you have to create. You don't really need that business either way, because something happens to the prospect when they know that you're chasing them and when you need their business. It makes them not want to give it to you. Supply and demand, right?
Yep.
If Joe is in, you know, light supply, those prospects he's in contact with are going to have heavier demand. So how do you posture yourself? How do you position your product? What kind of allure is available? It's certainly helpful to plan out your day, have your day scheduled, and I really would encourage you. Some people say, you know, hey, you know, take as much time with your prospects as they need. I'm kind of against that. If you're always available and you're always there, then you have automatically joined the ranks of the millions of salespeople who get trampled on every day. I mean, let's be honest, guys. Do we really respect sales guys' time? Do we feel like we have to respect that?
Not really.
The other day, my wife and I went for a test drive at a dealership for some cars, and we knew we weren't going to buy there, and we were spinning that guy's wheels. We didn't respect his time because we knew they're there just eagerly awaiting anybody that would show up. I tell people when I get on the phone with them that I really appreciate their time, and I'm a little bit pressed myself today, so let's talk this over. And I'd be happy to take a few minutes to answer your questions, but then unfortunately I got to move on, and you're welcome to contact me later once I get freed up. They know that my time is at a premium. And something happens is when you are readily available all the time to talk with prospects and answer their questions, what happens is we begin then to violate the concept of deadlines and limited space too. If there's any kind of urgency or limited space to your offer, why do you have all this time to talk? All right? There needs to be that little bit of allure. So that is a very serious homework assignment that I want you to pay attention to. write down two or three examples of successful allure that you see in the marketplace. Why did it work? Why did you genuinely feel like, you know what, this guy doesn't need me? He's got a million other people that would do this, and I would be lucky to be a part of it. I would say that allure all by itself makes the persuasion process a lot more effective and a lot easier. When you're trying to persuade without any posture, without any allure, it's just pulling teeth to get any of this other stuff to move forward. But when allure is there, it's a totally different game. And you know how it is when you've been persuaded by somebody who has allure. You almost feel like you weren't persuaded, like you decided on your own to go do something. That's the feeling that allure creates. So take some time this week to observe a few successful examples of allure. And this is why I like you to do this. This is why I like you to observe these things in the marketplace. There's a great quote by Jay Abraham. Some of you may have heard of him. He's a marketing author, one of the big gurus of our time on marketing. And he says, when you take one idea and apply it in a certain industry, it can have the effect of lighting a match. But take that idea and cross-apply it to a different industry, and it can have the effect of an atomic bomb, right? It can just completely light that business on fire and you know, supercharge your business. There are certain ideas out there right now that other businesses are successfully using, or maybe not so successfully. But if you transferred it over into your business, it would do very, very well for you. That's why we need to observe these kinds of things in the marketplace. So there you have it. There's three techniques there. Take at least one of these and apply it into your business. Some of you may have Kurt's book, Magnetic Persuasion. These are all addressed in the chapter on the law of scarcity, so you can certainly dig into there to review these things a little bit, and that'll help you a lot too. Does anybody have any questions or comments or concerns about what we've talked about tonight, or anything else for that matter?
My name is Suzanne. I'm from Tennessee. I didn't catch your name. What's your name?
My name's Steve Olson.
Oh, great class, Steve. Appreciate it. I'm looking for a mastermind team, and I was wondering if there's any place on EWI or the students can get together and create individual teams that we can complement each other on. Do you know of any place I can have resources?
I'm not sure if they've got a forum going on the website or not. I would encourage you to call the main number and ask the operator if they've got a forum up on the website for masterminding together. Do you have the main office number?
Yes. And they didn't. I called them quite a while ago, and they didn't have anything at that point. But
they still don't. Okay. Well, you're certainly welcome. You know, a real easy and kind of sneaky way to mastermind is before these kinds of calls start. You know, I hear people do it all the time. Sometimes I'll pop on the call, and maybe I'm preparing my notes, and I hear people networking all the time. That may be something that's worth your time. And you're certainly welcome to give out your email address if you want to connect with the other students right now. I'd give you that opportunity.
Okay, that would be great. And how do I get that out there?
You just say it to us right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's
that's okay.
ANDSHE@yahoo.com. And I'm looking for somebody that really's got some expertise in the internet. I have a product and need a prototype done on the internet.
Why don't you give out your address one more time? We had someone pop on the call, and I think it bleeped out part of your email address.
Okay, it's like you're asking the question, and she is where, and A-N-D, she, F-H-E, is I-S, where, W-H-E-R-E, at yahoo.com. And my name is Suzanne.
Okay, thanks, Suzanne.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Anybody else have any other questions or comments?
Yeah, Steve, this is Jeff from Minnesota, and I agree with
her.
I would like mastermind teams basically in my area, in the area of real estate. So I'm really kind of trying to get something set up along that line so we can work in conjunction with the weekly meetings with Kurt and yourself.
Okay. And I'll tell you what, I will use the 12 laws of persuasion on the executives of the company next time we meet, and certainly pass on your feedback. It sounds like there's quite a bit of demand for something like that.
I think there really is. I mean, it seems like everybody's kind of mum about that, and I think if we worked in, we had a few people to work with in the air, we have the same mindset, it would be better to go forward.
Have any of your local real estate investment association clubs been helpful? Have you been to any of those?
No, yeah. Well, I'm a real estate broker and real estate appraiser, but not really. I mean, they're all out there just, you know, the $8,000 credit, and they're all working. And, you know, they're working twice as hard for half the pay is what they're doing right now in this area.
Everybody. Well, a lot of those real estate investor clubs are kind of a mixed bag from what I've seen. You know, some of them are a total waste of your time. Other times you can, you know, really meet some good people. So
yeah, that's what I'm kind of looking for, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll definitely pass on your suggestions to the company execs and see if a mastermind group is in the works or what needs to be done there.
Well, I'm even thinking on maybe going on Craigslist and trying to develop one myself in this area.
Have at it.
I think
real estate money is made in the networking.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, that I would ditto that as well, Steve. It is something. It seems they teach a lot of, but for whatever reason they don't try to put anybody together. So all of us are on a certain level of understanding and of expertise, and as we try to gain more, we may be in an area that you might find some people at your local real estate, you know, club, or you might not. So then you go out searching for it, and thus far, the EWI has you know, kind of shied away from that, and I kind of wonder why.
Well, I'll do what I can for you guys on that. Anybody else have any other questions or comments tonight?
Well, this is Jeff in Minnesota. It just seems like investors are very tight to the. They don't want you. They don't want to let too much information out or anything, like you're trying to get into their territory or anything. And that's kind of the feeling that I've got in this area.
Well, everybody is a lot tighter with their cash these days. That's for sure.
Well, those that have cash, I mean, you get a lot of string-alongs that will come along with you. In fact, I have one that is just bugging me to death. He has absolutely nothing, but he's trying to sell me everything, you know, and I'm very cautious of him and don't want much to do with him because he doesn't really bring much to the table.
Sure.
You know?
Okay. Hey, you're welcome. Any other questions? Speak now or forever hold your peace, or at least until next week.
That's a great class. Thank you.
Thanks.
Super.
Hey,